Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use His Word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. And I would like for us to pick up the Christmas story in Luke 2, and I'm reading beginning in verse 8 through verse 14. You follow along as I read. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, let's read it together, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Father, we ask Your blessing on our study of Your Word this morning. Give each of us ears to hear. We want to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of it. So, Father, fill us with Your joy this morning, Your Christmas joy, and help us to leave this place more filled with joy and with expressions of exuberant joy, welling up like a wellspring in our hearts, even more so than when we walked in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, Christmas is that time of the year when we love to sing, and we love to sing very intentionally. We love to sing exuberantly and joyously. It's also that time of the year where I love to sing the traditional Christmas hymns, you know, like Away in the Manger and Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And my personal favorite, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Now, when I shared that with the early service, our classic service that is mostly grandmas, well, they laughed too. They laughed too. They had good fun with that. But there's another one we also like to sing this time of the year, and it's the one we just sang, Joy to the World. Catherine and the kids and I were back in D.C. a couple weeks ago, and we did what has become kind of a Jones family tradition. We've been in the D.C. area for about a decade, and we learned early on there are a lot of wonderful free things to do in the nation's capital. And one of those things to do is to attend one of the military Christmas programs down in the district at Dar Constitution Hall, the Daughters of American Revolution Hall, right across from the White House. It's the largest performing arts theater in the nation's capital. It seats about 4,000 people. And the Army does their program, the Navy does theirs, the Air Force. Again, the best thing about it is it's free of charge. You know, you just get on there a little bit early in October, get your tickets. And so we attended the American Holiday Festival put on by the United States Army Band Pershing's Own. And you would have been very, very proud of your Army Band. I mean, they put on an incredible, spectacular holiday program. The amount of military brass that was on the platform and in the auditorium that night was very impressive. But what impressed me most was the stirring rendition, and I'm telling you, the stirring rendition of Joy to the World that began the holiday festival. Because in years past, political correctness won the day, and you didn't have much joy to the world, the Lord has come. But something changed this year, and there was a lot of Jesus, there was a lot of Merry Christmas, and there was a lot of joy to the world, the Lord has come. It was a wonderful, wonderful celebration. I encourage you, if you have the opportunity next year, to just drive up the road here and enjoy one of those military holiday celebrations. Did you know that Joy to the World, by the early 20th century, became the most published Christian hymn in North America? You probably didn't know that. What you also probably didn't know is that Joy to the World was not originally a Christmas hymn. It was penned by a guy named Isaac Watts back in 1719, And he was inspired not by the Christmas story, but by the latter half of Psalm chapter 98. So let's put our finger in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, and let's turn to Psalm chapter 98 just for a moment and find out why Isaac Watts, who penned the words, "Joy to the World," was inspired to write them. Psalm chapter 90, beginning in verse 4, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. Before he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." Psalm chapter 98 pictures the triumphant return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, which means "Joy to the World" was really about the second advent of Jesus, not the first. I don't mean to spoil the Christmas hymn for you. We can still sing it in remembrance of the birth of Jesus Christ, but the "Joy to the World" that Isaac Watts wrote about was all about the second advent of Jesus, his second coming, which is yet to happen in Bible prophecy. We celebrate this time of the year his first advent. But the psalmist pictured the day when the King of Kings and the Judge of all the earth would return, and the nations would clap their hands, and all of nature would join in and rejoice at the coming of the Lord. Oh, we got a little taste of it, a little glimpse of it 2,000 years ago on a hillside when the angels came and spoke to the shepherds. But the joy to the world that Isaac Watts wrote about was the joy in anticipation of the second coming of Jesus Christ when he would set up his rule and his reign on this earth. Last week, we talked about the gifts of Christmas. And we talked about the fact that Christmas is God's love wrapped in human flesh. Well, this week we want to talk about how Christmas is God's joy wrapped in human flesh. Because the angels came to those shepherds and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What is joy? How would you define it? Somebody once used joy as an acronym and tried to come up with a definition that went something like this: J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. And that's not a bad place to start, because we all know that there's no joy in selfish living. Ebenezer Scrooge reminds us of that. And it would be good for the selfie generation that is rather self-absorbed to beware lest they run the risk of losing their Christmas joy with all the self-absorption that is part of the selfie generation. They're well on their way to becoming Ebenezer Scrooges if it's all about them, if it's all about us. But joy is certainly putting Jesus and others first and ahead of ourselves. C.S. Lewis wrote an autobiography called Surprised by Joy, and it detailed his journey from atheism to theism and eventually to a joyous and very robust faith in Jesus Christ. And in his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, Lewis said, "Joy," I love this, "joy is the serious business of heaven." I love the exchange of two words there, two ideas, joy and serious. It's the serious business of heaven. And certainly Lewis had in mind his own joyful experience when he came to faith in Jesus Christ. But I wonder if he also had in mind one of the stories that Jesus told when he was on this earth, and he told a parable about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of those sheep wandered away, as sheep are prone to do. And he left the 99 sheep, remember that story? And the shepherd went after the one sheep. And when he found his one sheep and brought that one sheep back, he sent word out to all of his family and friends, and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And then Jesus punctuates that story, and he tells us the real reason for it. He says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven," listen to this, "over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Yeah, joy I mean, real unspeakable joy that wells up in your spirit like a wellspring. That's the serious, serious business of heaven. And no wonder the angels came on that hillside 2,000 years ago and said to the shepherds, we have great news of great joy for all the people, because they knew that this baby that was born in Bethlehem would lead to the repentance of not just one, but many people. And it was party time in heaven. You do know that heaven throws a party, a joy-filled party, every time one sinner repents and comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the joy of Christmas, friends. That's what gave the angels such exuberant joy in their spirit and joy that they sang about and communicated to these shepherds. C.S. Lewis also talked about stabs of joy that he experienced, just occasions where joy would well up in his heart, but sometimes it would quickly fade away. I would define that more as happiness than joy. Joy is something that God sustains in our hearts, and it's regardless of the circumstances. Happiness has to do with what's happening, and what's happening might be the joy of a birth in your family. Maybe it's Christmas time and somebody in your family is due and you're going to have a new bouncing baby boy or girl. That's a joy-filled experience. Weddings are also joyful times. But we experience stabs of joy or splashes of joy or periodic times of joy, not the sustained joy that God really wants for us to have in our life at Christmas time and at every other time of the year. Because sometimes pain and sorrow and difficulty precede times of exuberant joy. Every mother understands this. There's no greater joy than for a mother to hold her newborn baby. But prior to that are hours and hours of painful, painful labor. And perhaps this is what the psalmist had in mind, or what every expecting mother knows very well. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." You may be going through a time right now that is a dark time and a difficult time and a time of weeping and sorrow and pain, but just know that joy is right around the corner, a splash of joy, a stab of joy, something unexpected, something sudden, just like the angels brought to the shepherds that night. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 also has this idea in mind. It says of Jesus, "Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he was then seated at the right hand of the Father." Sometimes to experience the joy that God really wants us to experience, we have to engage in a little delayed gratification. We go through a dark time, a difficult time, a painful time, a sorrowful time. Jesus went through that. His road to the cross was not easy. From the day that he was born, Herod was trying to kill all the boys under 2 years of age. He escaped that. Lived a life where people rejected him and spit upon him and eventually nailed him to a cross. Who for the joy set before him, he looked beyond the pain, he looked beyond the sorrow, he looked beyond the dark nights, he looked beyond Gethsemane and even the cross, because he knew that unspeakable joy was right around the corner. I love that what the writer of Hebrews says. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. You know, the word joy and joyful appears 238 times in the Bible. A variation of it, the word rejoice, appears another 260 times. That's a total of about 500 splashes or stabs of joy that appear in the Scriptures. Years ago, a pastor named Charles Swindoll wrote a book called Laugh Again. And if you know anything about Swindoll, he has an infectious laughter. And he often receives notes from his church family and from his radio audience that says, don't stop laughing in the pulpit. And so he wrote this book called Laugh Again, and it was based on the New Testament book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. Short book. You can probably sit down and read it in about 10 or 15 minutes, only four short chapters. But scholars refer to the book of Philippians as that epistle of joy, because the word rejoice, which appears 260 times throughout the Bible, appears 16 times in the book of Philippians. What you may not know about the book of Philippians is it's among what scholars call the prison epistles. Paul wrote it from prison. Isn't that ironic that his most joy-filled letter, where he just says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, he wrote it from some dark, difficult circumstances. All wasn't well in Paul's life. He was under house arrest, but it's from that experience that he writes the book of Philippians, this epistle of joy. And in that book that Swindoll writes, called Laugh Again, he identifies three joy stealers. And what I've discovered is that these joy stealers appear at Christmas time, perhaps more than any other time of the year. They heighten themselves, threatening to steal our joy. Those joy stealers are worry and stress and fear. I love the way Swindoll identifies or defines these three joy stealers. He says that worry is inordinate anxiety about something that may or may not occur. He says that stress is intense strain over a situation we cannot change or control, and fear is dreadful uneasiness over danger, evil, or pain. I noticed a common thread in these joy stealers. They're talking about things that that may or may not occur, or the things that we cannot change. And yet these are the things, the worry, the things that we worry about, the things we stress over, the things that we fear, the things that we cannot change, things that may or may not ever happen. These are the things that we allow to steal our joy, our Christmas joy, at Christmas and at many other times of the year. I could add another one to Swindoll's list of joy stealers, and that's selfishness. Selfishness. Again, the selfie generation needs to understand that a self-absorbed life is no pathway to joy. It will steal your joy. That's why Jesus, others, then you, is the right priority in our understanding of joy and what joy looks like in real life. So let me just talk to you about three things related to this this gift of Christmas joy. Three things that we can say about it. Number one, Christmas joy is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Given to us at Christmas time. Christmas is God's joy wrapped in human flesh, as we say. But let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and experience this joy as the shepherds experienced it. Again, in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. John is the one gospel writer who pays a lot of attention to the interchange between light and darkness, but Luke here is the one that mentions the shepherds were tending their flocks at night. Don't miss that. It was a dark time, physically speaking, when the news of great joy came, and it may be a dark time in your life, a difficult time, a hard time, a painful time, a sorrowful time, but joy came unexpectedly right in the midst of that, and it came to a group of shepherds, the most unexpected people we would think would receive a message like this. I mean, this was a heaven-sent message, and you would think it would come to the religious elite or the politically elite in Jerusalem, but oh no, God bypassed all of that. Because perhaps if the elite received this good news with great joy, they'd keep it to themselves. They would think that they're somehow privileged and it belongs to them. But this news came to a group of people who didn't have much to be joyful about. Shepherds didn't. They were rather poor. They were the dregs of society. Maybe lepers were considered a little bit lower than shepherds. Because of the nature of their business, they were not considered ceremonially clean, and so even the religious leaders didn't have a very high opinion of shepherds. But God did. And maybe because they didn't have much to be joyful about, their experience with joy, the exuberance with which they received the message, was heightened all the more. Maybe that's why the angels brought the message to the shepherds first. And the angel appears to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, the scriptures said, and they were filled with great fear. There's one of those joy stealers, right? Great fear came upon them. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For all the people. Again, the politically and religious elite, wanted to keep it to themselves. But no, this good news with great joy was for everybody, including lowly shepherds, In fact, it was kind of a poke in the eye and a poke in the chest to the elite that the message first came to the shepherds. But aren't you glad that it did? Because it means it's for all the people. For all the people. The shepherds, their names would never appear in the high society page of the Jerusalem newspaper. But this message was for them. And it's for you and it's for me. And what is the good news of great joy? Well, verse 11 tells us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. What's a Savior? Well, a Savior is somebody who can save you from something. Somebody who can rescue you from something. If you've been around church life long enough, you've heard the words, you know, "Are you saved?" And you're thinking, what's that all about? What do I need to be rescued from? I think it's interesting that God didn't send us a doctor. You might think that your greatest need this Christmas is for physical healing. But if that were true, God might have sent us a medical doctor, but he didn't. He sent us a Savior. You may be in financial trouble this Christmas. Maybe you lost your job and you don't know how you're going to pay for the Christmas gifts or the Christmas season and all of that. And you think your greatest need is for income, for money, and that God should send you an economist or a get-rich-quick scheme. But your greatest need and my greatest need isn't for money. You might think that your greatest need is to feel good about yourself and that God should send you a psychologist to help you do that. But no, our greatest need, friends, is not for medical healing or for money or to feel good about ourselves or for anything that you might fill in the blank with. Our greatest need is for forgiveness, for forgiveness. And that's why he sent us a Savior, to save us from the penalty of our sins and from the power of sin over us so we could live this abundant life that he promises to us, a joy-filled life. That's the good news. The good news and the joy of Christmas is that Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, has come to save us from our sins. And this is great joy. It is wonderful joy for all of us. So Christmas joy is a gift from God. And I would ask you this Christmas, have you personally received the gift of Christmas joy, God's free gift of eternal life? Do you know today the joy that your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Oh, the world may look down on you because you're a lowly shepherd, but God has exalted you to the status of the forgiven and the redeemed, and those who are friends of his through faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas joy is a gift from God. Secondly, Christmas joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Now let's go from Luke chapter 2 and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This part of our understanding of Christmas joy is aimed at believers in Jesus Christ. Because Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and then he lists 9 Christ-like characteristics: love, joy is the second in the list, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. An understanding of the Spirit-filled life, friends, is an acknowledgement that the Christian life and whatever it means to experience Christmas joy or Christmas love or peace or hope, it's the result of a supernatural life. Galatians chapter 5 draws kind of a line in the sand and says, on this side, you can either live by the deeds of the flesh. And by the way, I'd add flesh to one of those joy stealers, because the flesh always wants you to worry. It always wants you to stress out. It always wants you to be enslaved to fear. It wants you to live a self-absorbed life. And the fruit of all that are things like idolatry and sorcery and immorality and impurity and sin, and it's just this dark, dark list of the deeds of the flesh. You can either live by that, or you can live by the Spirit, the Bible says. And Paul uses language throughout the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, walk by the Spirit. Elsewhere, be filled with the Spirit, or live by the Spirit. And when you live this supernatural life, when the Spirit of God is living through you and you're living in harmony with the Spirit of God, the overflow of that, the product of that, is this fruit of the Spirit. And we're just focusing on one, which is joy, unspeakable joy. C.S. Lewis had this theory that all the pleasures of this life that we seek after to fill our needs, that we think that we need to fill our joy and our happiness, that all those pleasures are cheap substitutes of the real joy that God wants us to have. And I want you to think about that this Christmas. You can choose to live a self-absorbed, flesh-driven life, even as a follower of Jesus Christ, and you can go after all the cheap substitutes for joy in this world, and they will always, always leave you unfulfilled. Or you can say, I'm gonna align my life as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live in harmony and in step and in stride with the Holy Spirit of God that He gave to me as a gift and as a down payment on my salvation. And let Him live the life of Christ through me, and I'm going to experience much more than happiness, which is all the world can offer. Happiness has to do with what's happening around you. And when happiness ain't happening, what do you got left? When your circumstances aren't what you hoped they would be this Christmas, what do you got left? Well, joy is what God gives you when happiness ain't happening, because it transcends our circumstances. But it's the result of a supernatural life that the Holy Spirit lives through us. Is any of this making sense? Any of this making sense this Christmas? Because this Christmas, I want you and I want myself and my family to experience real Christmas joy. First step is to receive it as a gift from God, His free gift of eternal life. That's what Bethlehem was all about. A Savior has come to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from the penalty and power of sin. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's possible that you're living a joyless life. You might have splashes of what the world calls happiness, as long as your circumstances are happy and happening well. But last I checked, we live in a fallen, broken world. And it's pretty easy for me to look around my own life and say, man, this is not what I signed up for. Not what I signed up for. Like the shepherds who are watching their flocks at night, I'm going through a time of darkness and difficulty and pain and suffering. Yeah, because the reality is we live in a broken world. But what Christmas joy promises is something that transcends all of that. But you got to understand, it doesn't happen naturally for us. It's not natural for us to live in a broken world, to experience pain and suffering and difficulty and all of that, and to experience joy. It only comes when you're in relationship with Jesus Christ and when you are in step and in stride with the Holy Spirit who lives His life through us and produces a fruit in us. What I'm trying to say to you is you can't pull up your bootstraps and expect to have Christmas joy. You can get in step and in stride with the Holy Spirit and let Him live that supernatural life through you and take your happiness to a level that maybe you've never experienced before. Which brings me to the third thing I'm going to leave you with this Christmas, and that is that Christmas joy is a choice. It's a choice we must make. First, it's a choice to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's a choice to say no to the gloomies and to the joy stealers that threaten our Christmas joy, and to say yes to the Spirit of God who wants to live His joy through us. And the fact that Christmas joy is a choice reminds me of James chapter 1 and verse 2. And here's what the writer James tells us. James, humanly speaking, was the half-brother of Jesus. And he wrote these words at the beginning of his New Testament letter. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Real quickly, James was writing to a group of early Christians who were scattered around Palestine by persecution. Their circumstances were nothing to be joyful about. They were separated from family and loved ones, all because persecution had come against the body of Christ and the early Christians. And James writes to them, and he says, "Brothers and sisters, consider it all joy. Count it all joy. Choose joy when you meet trials of various kinds. If we had time this morning, we could go around this room and we could make a list of the various trials that some of you are going through right now. Some of you just lost your job 30 or 45 days ago. You got a, not the year-end bonus you were expecting, but you got a pink slip. You're experiencing a financial trial. Maybe you went to the doctor and you got a diagnosis you weren't expecting, and you're experiencing a physical and medical trial. Maybe you have some issues going on in your marriage or in your family or with one of your children. I mean, every one of us can probably say we either just came through a trial, we're experiencing one, or one is right around the corner. And the question is, at this Christmas, are you going to choose joy? To choose to align yourself and be in harmony with the Holy Spirit who can produce this in you, but also to choose, regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in, to make a decision today. I'm gonna be a joyful person. I'm gonna get in harmony with the Spirit of God and let Him produce joy in me. I'm gonna sing joy to the world this Christmas, not wah 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 wah. And for some of you, as you anticipate dinner at the family Christmas table, you're ready to give everybody a lot of wah 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 wah. And I'm going to encourage you to choose joy, because your family needs it. Your family needs to see joy in Grandma and Grandpa. Are you going to leave a legacy of joy for your children and your grandchildren, or a legacy of wah, 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 wah? Do you leave behind the aroma of Christian joy and Christmas joy wherever you go? Your family needs you to be joyful. Your Christian witness depends on it. Come on, family, let's huddle in here a little bit and talk. This is the time of the year that the world expects Christians to put on display exuberant joy, to cast aside the gloomies and the wah, 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 wah. You got Jesus in your heart. You received good news of great joy that was for all the people. This changed the life of the shepherds. And we have a watching world who sometimes sings about Jesus. I'm not sure they know what they're singing about. It's just kind of tradition. But you're supposed to have the joy, joy, joy down deep in your heart, right? Is that the aroma you leave behind this Christmas? I pray that it is. Now, some of you maybe can identify with Kay Warren, the wife of Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. She wrote a book years ago called Choose Joy Because Happiness Isn't Enough. She says, finding joy is a challenge for me. I'm not naturally an upbeat person. I'm more of a melancholy. When I talk about joy, I'm not doing so from the perspective of a generally peppy person who never has a bad day. In fact, it's because of my own inability to live with joy that led me to explore why my experiences didn't line up with Scripture. This is a pastor's wife. She says, my problem was my definition of joy. I thought joy meant feeling good all the time. That's impossible. Even for those who are naturally upbeat and optimistic, that's impossible. We have to start somewhere more realistic and close to Scripture. And Kay Warren penned out this definition of joy after a study of Scripture. She says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and listen to this, the determined choice to praise God in every situation. She goes on to say, you'll find nothing in that definition about happy feelings because, as we all know, happiness is fleeting and it's temporary. Yeah, happiness has to do with what's happening. But Christmas joy is what God gives you when happiness ain't happening. And it's what we must choose when happiness isn't happening. You can do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And given the Christmas joy that you received in your salvation through Jesus Christ, you can do that. Paul goes on to say elsewhere in his book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He said two words to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, rejoice always. He didn't say rejoice sometimes. When everything's going well, when you got the raise and the bonus you were expecting and the health report is great and kids are all getting straight A's, it's easy to rejoice then. But where our faith is really tested at Christmas time is when your world is falling apart and things aren't going as well as you expected them to go. Can you rejoice always? Always. And when you do, when you take that step towards joy in harmony with the Holy Spirit, you just watch the Holy Spirit lift you above those difficult and painful and sorrowful circumstances, and you experience joy unspeakable. You can't describe it because it's a supernatural thing that God is doing in your life. So many centuries ago, Isaac Watts asked us to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." And then he added these words, "Let every heart prepare him room." You got any room in your heart for a little Christmas joy this year? Your family depends on it. Your Christian witness depends on it. And maybe just your joyful experience of this Christmas season depends on you taking a different direction and opening up your heart and making room for the one who came to give us Christmas joy. This is great news, friends. Great news that our Savior has come. And it eclipses any bad news that we might receive in this temporary life that we live here on earth. Joy is right around the corner. Heaven is throwing party after party after party. Jesus is preparing a home for us. We have every reason to be filled with Christmas joy. And that's my prayer for us this morning. Amen? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word and for just the opportunity to talk about Christmas joy, to experience it, to receive it. If there's anybody here this morning who has never personally received the joy of Jesus, who promises us eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins, because this baby who was born in Bethlehem came for the express purpose of saving us and rescuing us. He went to a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And he wrapped up a beautiful gift called eternal life, free of charge, fully paid for. And it's ours for the receiving by faith. Father, if there's anybody here who needs to receive that free gift today, I pray that you would do your work, give them the faith to believe, make today a day of salvation. For others who have received that gift, who are possessors of it, Father, may we get in step and in stride and in harmony with your Spirit, produce in us a joy unspeakable that only comes because of the Jesus who lives within us. Help us to live supernatural lives, all because of Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete online catalog of Ron's audio resources, visit ronjonesministries.com. Thanks for listening.